Off in we just read the Gemara Baba Kama, and Hillel, I haven't forgotten who was reading yesterday, and I think it was your Chavrusa. Where is that? There he is. Okay, so you could have guessed that you'd be next, right? As we say, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. So if you could please read the Gemara Baba Kama. This is a really interesting sugya for other reasons, but go ahead. I may take 2 minutes just to comment on it. Chitzav. Chitzav. Chetzio would be half of him. Chitzav would be... His what? Arrows. Okay. And Reish Lakish Amar. Okay, so the briskers here are smiling. It's a beautiful chakira. Isha mishum chitza isha mamono. And the anti-briskers here, you know, are wondering, what difference does it make? Okay, so the Gemara will explore that issue. The Gemara first is going to try to... The Gemara, in presenting all its kashas, is presenting what should have been an afkamina, which obviously can't be an afkamina because we know what the din is in each case, and that should demonstrate whether isha mishum chitza or isha mamono. The Gemara does, ultimately, here's what I mentioned, I'll talk for a minute or two. The Gemara does come up among the I don't know if there's more than one afkamina, but one of the afkaminas that emerges from the Gemara is the following. First, let me say, what does it mean, isha mishum chitzav, isha shimamono? Isha mishum chitzav means, just like I can shoot an arrow, and even though if I kill someone or maim someone or injure someone with an arrow, even though I'm not touching them, even though I do something and then I walk away, and then a force that I set in motion does the damage or the killing, nonetheless, that's chitzav means it's my action, it's my koach, it's my maisa. In the same sense, when a fire of mine goes and breaks out and burns down some of the stuff, even though I didn't set fire to that thing, nonetheless, and as you see later, if I set fire to the object, that's not isha, clearly that's not isha misham amono. That's isha misham chitav. It's no different whether or not if I light your book on fire, or I tear your book into 1,000 pieces, or feed it through the paper shredder, that's adam hamazik. That's not ish. Ish happens to be the agent there, but that's not considered isho in the classic sense. That's not kiseitze ish, or I'll say kiseitze ish. That is mamish adam hamazik. So, whereas isho mishimamono means no, just like if my ox, unbeknownst to me, unintentional, perhaps because I was careless, my ox, you know, goes on a rampage and does damage. So too, if my fire goes on a rampage and does damage, I didn't necessarily set it for that purpose, but it got loose and it did damage. So isha mishimamono. So what is the nafkamina? So some of the things the Gemara will ask as kashas would be nafkaminas, but then one of the nafkaminas the Gemara presents is the following, that there are certain, or I would say, let me qualify that. The Gemara is going to observe that in certain cases, isho, even if you assume that isho, there are certain peturim by ish. There's certain special peturim of xeris akasa by ish. One in particular, which is known as tamun by ish. If my fire spreads and burns down your haystack, and lo and behold, for some reason unknown to anyone, you put valuables inside your haystack. You hid them there. Okay? And you had glass, or you had metal, or you had wood. Let's say you had very fancy wooden sculptures there. And they burn down because the haystack burns down and the wooden stuff ignites, or the metal melts, or the glass melts. So the din is that tamun ba'esh, it's an achlokas atanaim, I think, but we paskin that tamun ba'esh is pater because oha kama oha sadeh, hal gadish oha kama sadeh, ma kama bagalu, so too everything has to be bagalu. Just the kama, the standing wheat, is obvious, you can see it there, so too everything else has to be bagalu. And if hidden inside your gadish is kalim, and they're destroyed, you don't have to pay for the taman. You may pay for a gadish as if it were full of hay or full of wheat or whatever the stack is made of. You'd pay that, but you wouldn't pay the value of the kalim. Now, that notion that taman ve'esh is pater is exeris hakasa by esh. But if you were to argue that isha was really adam hamazik, then the patur of taman wouldn't make any sense. And the Gemara assumes, the Gemara asked the kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, isha mishum chita, when would taman ve'esh be pater? And the answer is only in a case where isha, even Rabbi Yochanan was modeh, that isha was mishum mamono. What's a case like that? So it's a case, without going into all the details, of where when I set the fire, there was a wall that would have stopped the fire from going into somewhere else. And then after I set the fire already, the wall just collapses because of something. okay? An unusual circumstance. And in that case, because when I shot my arrows, when I let the fire go, it was kalu lo chitzab, there was a screen protecting the arrows from going through. Any damage does beyond that screen cannot be considered adam hamazik. Rather, it's esh. That's isho mishum mamono. Everybody agrees. So that's where tamun va'esh would apply. What's particularly interesting about this whole sugya is two things. Number one is that the sugya is found in the second parak of Bava Kamma. Any of you ever learned Bava Kamma?
Yeah.
Where is esh discussed in Bava Kamma? It's in the sixth parak, right? The sequence is from behema. You know, the various kinds of Niske Behemto. Then eventually, when you get to the fifth parak, I think, you get into Niske Bor. And finally, you get to Niske Esh, I think, at the end of the sixth parak or something like that. So this sugya is not in the parak about Esh. What's even more interesting is that how do we paskin? Well, how would you expect to paskin? Ishav Mishum Chitzav. That's what you would expect. And that's how the Rambam paskins. And then, what does the Rambam say legabe the patur of tamun ba'esh? How does he qualify the patur of tamun ba'esh? And the answer is he doesn't. The Rambam just says you patur on tamun ba'esh. Totally ignores the sugya. It's very interesting. It tells you something about the Rambam's mahalachim psak. There's a very important comment, lest you think that the Talmud scholars were the first ones to raise the possibility that Rambam ignored certain kinds of Gemaras. The Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam's method in psak is often to ignore ukimtas that the Gemara makes and instead to paskin like pshuton shomishnayis and brises and so on. This is in the last parak of Hilchos Niske Mamon, parak Yudalit. So anyway, so it's a very, very interesting sugya. It's one of those sugyas that the Gemara establishes some conceptual machlokas, but has to struggle sort of to find an afkamina, because a lot of the brises that we have are facts. So in all these brises, the Gemara is going to end up doing what in order to protect one sheet or the other? It's going to make some kind of ukimta. That's what it's going to be forced to do. Now there was, from the Yesodei wing here. There was a question, two questions.
I guess I was just wondering why we need to compare it to Chitzav and whatever the other one, because it is its own case in the Torah. So I guess you could draw some comparison, but why?
So you're right that on a pshat level, you're asking my question though. Who cares? The Torah says this is the innovation. So the reason it matters is because they're going to narrow that din of Esh down. If you hold Isha Mishum Chitzav, like Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to narrow down the category of Esh. You're going to narrow down the category of Esh and limit its patur and limit some of its leniencies to certain kinds of cases. Let me suggest, you can ask a different question, and I don't want to go further on this, it's not our topic, but I think it illuminates a very contemporary way of thinking in Lamdus. Something that actually very much appeals to me is, what is motivating Rabbi Yochanan to adopt such a position? And the answer, I don't know the answer to that question, but the answer to that question may be, is that if you think about the way Esh is handled in the sixth parak, so is there any distinction between a fire you set on purpose and a fire that spreads by accident? Let's say I'm absolutely reckless and I do it with absolute insensitivity, not caring whatsoever, knowing fully well it very might spread, and
you're
I just do it
no.
thoughtlessly. What?
You're chayev
either way. There's no distinction. Until it becomes onus, there is no distinction that's made. What does the Torah suggest? What do the words of the Torah suggest? You know, I will not single them out because they are among my finest Talmidim, but there was a debate going on amongst Talmidim yesterday as to whether or not you're chayev for killing an Eved Kenani. So the answer to that question is the way you determine whether you're chayev for Eved Kenani is by learning Chumash. So I know in NYP we learn Gemara, but it's kedai to do shnai mikra v'echa targum. Ki seitzei eishu matzah kotzim v'nechal gadish o akama o sadeh, shalei mishalem hamavir sadeira. So if you look at that pasuk itself, it's very interesting the way it's presented. It starts out ki seitzei eish. As the Medrash says, Rashi quotes me'elav. And the pasuk ends, hamavir sadeira. And some of you may know the previous pasuk, Ki Yaver Ish Sadeh Ocherem Mishilach Espiro Vier Bistecher. There is an ancient tradition which is almost totally obliterated from Chazal that pasuk is also referring to fire. It was found in a fragment Targum on that pasuk, which one of my heroes, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sridei Eish, great name for this particular pasuk. The Sridayesh, but it's coincidental, tried to deny, tried to totally reread that Targum, but when the complete Targum Eretz Yisrael Ne'er 50 was discovered, it was very, very clear that there was a Targumic tradition Eretz Yisrael that pasuk refers to Eish, not Mave, as we call it, not Behemto Masik, not Be'iro in that sense, but Yaver Ish means to burn. And there's a remez to that left in the Mishnah. It's a remez to that Shita, which is Hasholeach es HaBe'ira Biyad Chere Shirt of a Katan, which is the Mishnah about Eish. Okay? So despite the existence, there does exist a tradition. And in that case, the first pasuk, Ki Yaver Ish Sadeo Cherem, if you read that way, is when you madlik bi yodayim, and Ki Seitei Eish is when you were careless. So the bottom line is that there is a sense, the Torah does, that we have a, that Eish is liable both passively and actively. But one can ask the obvious question, which is, why, Memela with my behema, generally speaking, unless I incite my behema to gore someone, my behema does damage on its own. I'm liable because I should have watched it. So I understand the din of Eish, that I'm liable for Eish, because it happened on its own, because I should have watched it. But one would have thought that if I deliberately set a fire, that maybe that's not called... that's not the din of Eish. That's the din of Adam Mazik. What difference does it make whether I take a hammer and I smash the glass, or I light a fire and deliberately in its presence smash the glass? Why should that be potter? Now, Reish Lakish would say that if I don't act directly on the object, well, that's what the Chiddush of the Torah is of Eish. Rabbi Yochanan apparently was not satisfied with that. He thought what difference does it make whether I shoot an arrow or I send my fire? Right? It's not crazy what would be bothering Rabbi Yochanan about this particular construct. Okay? So you have to ask. So when you think about what the psukim are saying, and even without the mahalach about kiaver ish, think about the beginning of the pasuk kisejesh and mavir sabera. This particular question may have been bothering Rabbi Yochanan. Why should a person who is mazik the kavana with ish? Why should that be treated as a separate category? That would have been no different than a person is mazik be hadayim mamish, and that in effect belongs to the second half of Maseches Bava Kamma, not the first half.
If it's an accident.
What's that?
He also said that if it's an accident, it's always chitza, or it's always.
Does he say that beferish? I don't know. I don't know. You have to learn the whole sugya. I'm just pointing. There are reasons to question why not. And again, let's say a person shot an arrow without the intention of doing damage. He was just practicing and he was careless and he realized they hadn't set up the archery target, so it goes beyond. Right? In other words, the suggestion is even without, even forget the memela part. But in other words, there are things that are masa yadav shel adam, and that should be considered adam hamazik. That may have been what was. You know what was bothering Rabbi Yochanan.
And
chitzav
is not adam
hamazik. Chitzav is adam hamazik. When he says isha mishum chitzav, correct. But the fact is that there are situations where even he is going to be mode isha mishum amono in the situation conceptually of kalu lo chitzav, when there's something that stands in the way of his arrows, when there's a target blocking it. And then someone pulls that away after he shoots the arrow. I don't know what the din is by Adam Amasi, probably the person who pulled the arrow. But that's another famous Shaila, but the guy who throws Kalem off the... Whatever, that's a whole thing in its own right. But anyway, so there is a machlokas, Isha Mishum Chitzav, Isha Mishum Amono. So Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, Maitaima. Reish Lakish, Maitaima, Lo Amar Krabi Yochanan. Amar Lach,
Chitzav Mikoko Ka'azmi. Hashem Lach,
yeah, in other words, one of them is actually going because he gave it its force. If I shoot an arrow, that into all the force of that arrow that penetrates the target is because of force that I transferred into it by loading the spring. Okay, but outside of that, it's a force that is my force. But Eish, it's true I may set the fire, but fire has a mind of its own. The fire goes on its own. And therefore, it's not fire doesn't go from the force that I gave it. It goes because the nature, the teva of fire, is to spread. Okay. So, Rabbi Yochanan, my time.
Rabbi Yochanan, my time. Lo amar k'mish lakish. Amar lach, amona hitzvei mamasha. Halach
mamasha. That's a reason, but it's a straight. It's an odd kind. In other words, mammon has substance to it, but eish, there's no physical object. Okay. It's a difference between, for those of you who remember the end of Beitza, or from Daf Yomi, the difference between a shalheves and a gacheles. A gacheles is a davar sheish bo mamish. A shalheves, it's discussed, but not this. A shalheves is davar sheish bo mamish. Lagabe hotza, lagabe all sorts of dinim.
Isn't a chetz also has is mamish, isn't it?
Correct, except for that you... So in other words, Reish Lakish would say that chitza mikol chok osli. Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a shayla. Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say even when there's no mamish, he says if there's no mamish, of course it's treated as chitzav. If it's mamono, you can give it an independent existence. You can say, oh, this behema is acting on its own. But this object is its own thing, whereas the eish is just an extension of me. Continue. Toshma. I skipped over a few of the rites. Toshma. So if a goat is tied to the Gaddish, and an Eved is near the Gaddish, and the Eved is burned to death, so the Mavir is Chayiv. Why? Why he's Patur on anything on the Eved? Because why? Hayala Levrach. The Eved should have run away. So he's not liable at all for the death of the Eved. Which, by the way, is generally an important point of halachic jurisprudence, which is the fact that I do something stupid and you're injured doesn't automatically make me liable. If you could easily have escaped that damage, then the fact that I, without my action, you wouldn't have been damaged doesn't really matter. Answer a question? Oh, no, it's just your hand.
I was going to make it up, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara said, but what's the reverse case? Eved. Right, so the Gedi is not assumed necessarily to have a great deal of das. So maybe if the Gedi should have fled, maybe he'd be Pater on the Gedi anyway. But he's Pater on the Gaddish. Why? Because the Eved was tied to it, and some says the Eved could not have gotten away. And if the Eved could not get away, he's Chayiv Misa for the death of the Eved. And therefore, well, that's an assumption. That's exactly the kasha. He's chayiv misa for the death of the Eved. And therefore, he's patur on the damages to the Gaddish because of kam leved the rabba mine. So the Gemara says, Bishlama. Yeah, if I kill someone by shooting with an arrow, I'm chayiv misa. So if I kill someone by lighting fire, which spreads and kills them, I'm also chayiv misa, assuming there was intent. Okay? Elamanda amar. There's no kamalid rabba mine, as the Gemara says. Ilu. So had a this if your ox kills an eved or anyone for that matter, so would you say so? Similarly, would you say that you're not chayef for the damage, let's say, to the eved? I mean, you can take the case of Torah because kamalid the rabba mine. They say, of course not. Why? Because you're not chayef misa for your shor killing a person. And therefore, if damage is done in the process, you have to pay for the damage because there's no kamei v'rabba mine. So, amar lecha.
Amar lecha, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Achad v'may askina. Kesher hatzit v'gufa shalom. The kamei v'rabba mine.
Yeah, if you set fire to the Eved, everybody agrees that's chitzav. That's not isha misha mamono. And the way Reish Lakish would say is the fire didn't spread on its own. I put the fire on the Eved. I murdered the Eved. So then the Gemara says, and here's the punchline, Ihachi. So, okay, so, duh, what's the Chiddush? You set fire to the Eved. So the truth is, that in itself is not a Kasha Reish Lakish. The Mishnah is just pointing out to you, you know, the certain dinim, even though it's not the biggest Chiddush in the world. They wanted to, you know, reverse the Gedi and the Eved and so on. But okay, the Gemara answers, but it doesn't matter whether it was such a good Kasha, because the Gemara's answer is very important. So one person owns the Eved, one person owns the, it's funny, could have, the Gemara says the Gedi. I wonder if you look in some of the Kisveyat if this is not an error. What's the error? Gaddish, yeah. All it needed was a little strich. It could be the Gedi if you assume that the Gedi is not smart enough to run away. The animals generally have a fear of fire. Right, unless it was like in a barn where a person could easily unlock the door, but a Gedi hasn't yet mastered the trick of turning the knob. I don't know. I could envision, Sam, where's Sam? Oh, you're not doing Baba Kama, so it's a no good. I'm sorry. Don't look now. At some point, if you want to have fun, this is one of those things that could easily have happened that it said Gimel, Dalet, Yud, and a Strich. You know, a little abbreviation sign, as scribes frequently do, and really was supposed to be Gaddish. I don't know. But either way, it doesn't matter. For conceptual purposes, it makes no difference.
Rashi says the famous that the Gedi wouldn't run away.
He says the Gedi wouldn't run away. Okay. But But even if you want to say they run away too, there's the Gaddish matter of the Gaddish also. So either way, it doesn't matter for let's not get caught up in it. The bottom line is that the thing which he damaged, for which he should have been chayiv to pay damages, belongs to one person. The eved whom he killed belongs to another person. So even though, and the truth is, you don't even need eved dechad. You chayiv misa for killing the eved because you kill the eved. You chayiv for killing him. So you really, avda dechad is not even so relevant. The only important point is that the gedi doesn't belong to the eved. Okay. Or better said, so either way, that's not my concern right now. So the bottom line is, so according to the Gemara, this looks like it's a case of Mamon Lezeh and Nefashos Lezeh. Mamon to the Baal HaGadi or Gaddish. Nefashos to the Eved or the Baal HaEved, whichever you want to call it. And the din is that you say, Kam Lebi the Rav Aminei. That was the relevance. Fine. Finally, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Go ahead, Hillel.
Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul Omer, Rodei Shai Rodei Acher Chaviru Lahoga, Yechol La'atzilo Be'echem Ne'evar, Lod Hatzilo, Neher Agolah.
Okay, so there is a din, you all know, of Rodeif. What's the makar that you're allowed to kill a Rodeif?
The guy who's hungry in your house.
Not correct. I knew somebody was going to say that. What's the pasuk? No, that's on Hababa Machteres. Correct. Ki kasher yakum ish areu tzahonaf ashkena davazeh, ki vasadem itza'a, tzahkan amarsav imoshiela hayeshlo shiela moshiela b'chol davar. That's the din of Rodei. Baba Machteres is a separate din. The difference between Rodei and Baba Machteres, and I don't want to have a discussion, but you should be aware of this, is that in order to kill someone on the grounds of Rodei, in a situation of Radifa, there has to be a clear evidence that the person is coming to kill you. In cases of doubt, or it's not, I don't want to say 100% clear, but if it's not very clear, you may not kill a Rodef on those grounds. Baba Machteres is a subcategory of Rodef, if you want to call that, where the presumption, unless known otherwise, is that the person is coming to kill you. It's also true by Baba Machteres is that you're allowed to confront the person. By a Rodef, probably if you have the choice, if you have an easy way of escaping, like Yachol Atzil Bech Meivar, you have to employ that. But when someone invades your house, and there's a presumption that the automatic presumption is, unless you know otherwise, such as an av halabein, is that the person is going to kill you if you confront them, you're allowed to confront them, and you're allowed to assume that they're going to kill you until there's evidence in the opposite direction, like an av halabein. So Baba Machteres is a unique case where you're allowed to kill someone, where under the getter of Rodef alone, you wouldn't be allowed to kill such a person. Okay, so now the Gemara is talking about Rodef, though. And by the Rodef, the rule is that the Gemara says, Yochal atzil becha meivarav, and you don't, you had a way, you could have cut his arm off instead of cutting his head off, and cutting his arm off would have stopped him, and you could have done that equally well without endangering yourself. Therefore, you are chayiv misa for killing the rodeif. Because in effect, he's a rodeif, but not a rodeif. He's a rodeif that you can disable without killing him. There's no permission to kill him. Who in Tanakh was accused and murdered on the grounds that he killed someone who was rodeifim, but yachal atzil becha meivarav? Avner, right? Yoav, the halachic din Torah that Yoav and Avishai had against Avner for killing their brother Asael is that he could have stopped Asael, but instead of killing him, is that he could have disabled him, and that would have been sufficient. The pashtus is they were wrong anyway. Well, the Gemara doesn't say this, and this the Gemara is willing to get to the argument that he wasn't a rodef, it was Milchama, and Milchama has different dinim. But anyway, but nonetheless, for the purposes of Lamdus, that was Yoav and Avishai's taina as to they were allowed to kill Yoav, Avner. The problem, of course, with saying that is that if you believe that they were correct, because we do accept the principle, I think, that Yochal Atzilo Be'echad Me'evarav is in fact chayiv. I believe we hold this way. You're not allowed to kill someone unless the shayil is maybe he's not chayiv misa. But obviously, David HaMelech and Shlomo Paskin, that they were chayiv misa for killing him because David's instructions to Shlomo on his deathbed were, make sure you take care of Yoav, because he killed two Anashim Tzadikim Imanu. So truth is, he killed Asael and he killed Amasa in cold blood, without a doubt, for political reasons, and so he could be the general, but it sounds like he was chayiv misa for killing Avner as well. So, unless you say that was Midin Morid B'Malchus. I don't know. Anyway, so that's the din, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul states. And how does he know this? My time with Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. Go ahead.
Rabbi Elazar, mitzvah shemitzah kavu mitaru. Ichtiv v'asoniyeh, unintata nefesh tachanefesh.
So how does he know this? So the pasuk is talking about mitzvos shebemisa kosa medaber. Right? You're talking about a situation where somebody is trying to kill somebody and would be chay of misa for doing it. They would be chay of misa. And the raya is, because the Torah says that there's a son and the woman is killed, she's chay misa, v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. Va'afilu hachi, so if the person in the act of trying to strike his friend and hitting the pregnant woman, if in fact he's chayav misa, he's a rodef. He's trying to kill his friend. How do I know he's trying to kill his friend? Because if he delivers, trying to hit his friend in a way that wouldn't kill his friend, he's not chayav misa. If you hit a person a hakah, which is not strong enough normally to kill him, and then something happens, you're pater mimisa. You're not chayav misa because there was no intent to kill. So, obviously, the fact that mason yeh v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh means there's intent to kill, there's sufficient force to kill, which means that the guy who's throwing the punch is a rodef, and yet the Torah says if he doesn't kill anyone, if there's no ason, if the woman isn't killed, you make him pay money. How can that be? After all, you know that when a rodef is in the act of doing redifa, he's chayav misa, and anyone can kill him, and therefore you know, as the Gemara will say later, that any damage he does at the time, he's pater on because of kam leib the rabba minei. So, the Gemara says, Kigon. Right, in other words, you could say the Torah's case in which the Torah prescribes money, even though one guy was trying to kill the other, is in a situation where he doesn't have a din of chayiv misa, the rodef. Why? Because you can stop the rodef without having to kill him. In which case, he's not chayiv misa if he fails to kill. He's not chayiv misa until he kills. He's trying to kill. But you can disable him without killing him. Therefore, he doesn't have a chayiv misa right now. And therefore, he has to pay if he failed to kill. Since he was never chayav misa, he wasn't chayav misa because he didn't kill anybody, and he wasn't chayav misa in the act of trying to kill someone because there was a way of defeating him without having to kill him. Thus, that's how you don't say kam leib d'rabba minei. But
the way of defeating him is dependent on whether he's chayav misa or not?
No, the way of defeating him is what do you need to stop him from harming and killing someone else?
But if you weren't able to, you wouldn't be chayav misa.
No, if there's no way to stop him other than by killing him, everybody agrees you're allowed to kill him.
Right.
But in that scenario, the Gemara is suggesting right now, if he failed to kill, let's say nobody could stop him, the only way to stop him was with a bullet, and you didn't have a bullet, you know, and now he goes ahead and he kills the woman. He goes ahead and he throws the punch, but he misses and doesn't kill the woman. He'd be patur from paying money because of kam leib d'rabba minei, because at the time he did the damage, he was chayav misa at that moment.
Okay.
In fact, just to make you understand something about the idea of killing a rodef, we tend to think of killing a rodef as a din of self-defense, but it's actually something beyond that. It may be a hybrid, but you know that killing a rodef is actually almost a form of misas beisdin. It's a form of judicial death penalty. And I say that there are a number of dinim and a number of havaminis in the Gemara that highlight at least that aspect of the din of rodef. The Gemara has a havamina, this is by Baba Machteres, which is a narrow case of rodef. The Gemara has a havamina that you're not allowed to kill the Baba Machteres on Shabbos. Why not? That you wouldn't be allowed to kill a rodef on Shabbos? Why not? The answer is because Beis Din cannot be manish on Shabbos. Beis Din may not administer the death penalty. Yevamos dav vav dav zayin. In the sugya of Aseh Docha Los Aseh, the Gemara mentions that lo sivar reish b'chol moshro seichem b'yom ha-Shabbos b'chol moshro seichem is the rabbos Beis Din. Beis Din cannot execute a person for capital offense on Shabbos. So therefore, you would have thought that you can't kill a Baba Machteres on Shabbos. It's there where you may be invoking the din of self-defense, beyond the din strictly of Mises Beisdin. So the point of the Gemara is, though, that if there's a case where you were high Mises Beisdin because there was no way to stop you in this act of when you hit the pregnant woman, there was no way to stop you from trying to hit your friend unless we killed you, so then you should be patur on any tashlumen, even though you didn't kill anybody, because at the time you did the damage, you were also mechuyav misa spaced, and it was kamei rabba minei. And you don't, if you miss, and everything ends well, So you don't get Misa Spesden. It's a temporary chi of Misa Spesden. So the Gemara says here again that if Bishlama, if there's such a, if Nita Mahatil Be'echam Nevarav, you're not allowed to kill him, then it means that in a case where it's Yachal Atzilo Be'echam Nevarav, there's no chi of Misa Spesden, and that's why in such a case, when he missed the woman, or he didn't kill the woman, that's why the Torah would say Anoshi Anesh, she has to pay the money. But El'i Amris, doesn't make a difference. Once you're trying to kill someone, you're chayim misa. It doesn't matter whether we could stop you with a, you know, with a rubber bullet or a metal bullet. Makes no difference. You're in potter for killing such a person because once you rodev someone to kill them, you're matir atzmach ala misa, you're chayim misa, and we can give you the misa even if we had a way of stopping you otherwise. Which, by the way, also highlights the idea that it's a form of misa spesden. Right? Because if it were just an issue of self-defense, why wouldn't you be able to kill someone when you don't need to kill someone in self-defense? Alex?
If it was just an issue of based in injustice, then why would you be able to do something that ultimately is not what he deserves?
No, because he does deserve it. Once you try to kill someone, you're chayav misa in the act. That's the point. Again, I'm not going to leave it at the moment. You can agree or disagree with my last point, but the Gemara says, so how would it be? Because whenever he tries to kill his friend and he strikes the pregnant woman but doesn't kill her, when he tried to kill his friend, he was chayav misa. This should never, ever, ever be a din of anoshi anesh. So must be that yochal atzila bechem nevarav is and killed him. Your nerag, it was usher to kill him. So the Gemara says no. Now, you know what? It could be that that's a case where it could be that Nitalatzi Lebecha Mevarav, Eino Nera Galav, it's Mutter to kill him. Nonetheless, you're chayiv to pay money in the case of, in a situation where the woman survives because it's Mama Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. And let me just, so firstly, who. Here's a crucial point, and you need to remember this when you read Tosis, otherwise you'll get confused. If he did kill the woman, so why don't you say, Kam le b'derabamine, you don't say Kam le'arabamine because it's Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh. If it's true by a case where he failed to kill the woman, you don't say Kam le'arabamine, then when he killed the woman, why don't you say the same thing? That don't apply Kam le'arabamine because it's Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh. I won't even call it a klatz kasha because it's a point that was sort of addressed in passing by Tosus, Derech Agav. Who is the Mamon to, who is the Nefashos to? If you tried to kill your friend, but you killed a pregnant woman, to whom would the Mamon go?
Father of the fetus.
The father of the fetus. And who are the Nefashos to?
The dead person.
If that's the case, then isn't that a case of also Mamon to the Nefashos to that? What is the Gemara's hava mina to be docha here? How could the Gemara be docha with this svara Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh? That's why I would have thought maybe yochal atzil lebecha mevarav is eino nera galav. And nonetheless, the reason why I have to pay is Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh. How could the Gemara say that? If Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh is chayiv in this case, then even if you killed the pregnant woman, it's Mamon to the husband or the father or the vlados, technically you're correct, and it's the fashos to the woman. So what? What in God's name was the Gemara's Hava? The Gemara's going to reject it, Harris. What was the Hava Mina? What was the Gemara's Hava Mina? So what is Tosus going to say about this? What's Tosus going to observe? What's that?
It's her body.
It's her body. Since the Vlados are in her body, it's Mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh. In fact, there are rare cases where you can actually pay, I think, you might be paid Vlados to the issue. You have to learn the Sugya Baba Kama. There's a rare case where the Baal dies or something like that. Or the Baal's already died, or there's a discussion whether the Vlados go to the Isha or not. So the bottom line is you have to say in that case that when it's the Isha herself who you kill, it's Mamon and Nefashos L'chad. But in a case where you failed to kill the woman, you weren't trying to kill the woman, but you missed your friend, but you injured the woman, but you didn't kill her, so who is the Mamon to and who is the Nefashos to? The Mamon is to the father of the Vlados, the Nefashos is to the guy you were trying to kill. That's at least what we're assuming right now in Ara. Right? In other words, who are you chayav misa to? The guy you're trying to kill. Yes?
Is the assumption kind of like what I think it was earlier Tosso suggested, where he sort of cuts himself as he's about to do the Shita, and they're just simultaneously anyway? But like, in other words, in his, let's say his swing, I don't know how it's possibly simultaneous that he hits her and doesn't hit him.
The answer is, I'll give you that simple solution. He takes a swing at his friend, he winds up, and then, without looking, she steps in between the two of them. So when he, I understand what you were asking. So when he hits her, his punch fist was still on the way to nailing his friend. She just got in between. Right? In other words, that will satisfy your criteria, I think. Or if you want to make it better, right, and to make it even better, based on the Gemara we're about to do tomorrow, he starts swinging, she's not there yet, and then he looks, he aims his punch, and then after he starts his punch, and let's say, you know, he closes his eyes, so there's really no ways he would stop. Okay, I may be over-exaggerating that part. Then she steps in between. She's riding her bike. She steps in between and smashes her, or the bike knocks her over, and whatever happens, happens. Okay? So, you know, if you really want to make it, you could take, he takes his nunchuck, and he throws it at his friend, and she winds up in between, you know, because she's riding her bike. Okay, so whatever, you'll see why I gave the scenarios based upon the Gemara that we'll hopefully start, I hope, tomorrow. Okay, so so now what's the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara says, lo, what does loshna mean? Simple reading of loshna. That's the simple reading? No, Shani Acha, you would have thought that this case is different than a Mamon L'Nefashos L'Chad. It could be, it could even be, that Mamon L'Chad and Nefashos, Mamon L'Zeh Nefashos L'Zeh Yurachayim. The Gemara says, Lo Shna, that means, not that there's not a case of it. Did you read Tosas already?
No.
Oh, I thought you were brainwashed by the Rivam's reading. No, the simple reading is that there's no difference. It doesn't matter whether it's mamon nefashos l'chad or mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh. Same thing, kam le'drab mineh. The Rishonim will want to say that no, that the Gemara's answer really is that lo shna, it's not really a case of mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh, and then you have to explain why it's not.
I mean, like, the fact that you have shani hacha followed by lo shna, it's almost shani hacha.
Yeah, and the answer is this case is different because it's a mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh, and the answer is lo shna. There is no difference between the two.
I don't think it's a.
You would have thought that the din is different. What's that?
I don't think lo shna responding to shamei hacha is a strained reading.
No, but lo shna means there's no difference.
Right, this case is not different, especially since we immediately had. Maybe this case is different. No, this case is not different.
Exactly. In other words, this case has a different din because, or should have, will have a different din because it's mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh, there's no kamar b'nei. The answer is lo shna.
No, I understand that reading.
That's the simple reading.
I don't think that it's any more persuasive.
Lo shna doesn't. The original suggestion is that this is not a case of mamon l'zeh nefashos l'zeh.
Yeah, because we said maybe it is different.
Maybe the din is different because it is mamon l'zeh nefashos. That's what shani hacha. The din is different.
Yes.
And lo shna, the answer is the din is not different. Not that this is not a case of. That's not what lo shna would be responding to.
Why not?
I don't think that's how it's used. Just look at the sentence. Your raya was, it must be, nitel semenacha is neragala, because otherwise, why do you chayv money? The answer is no. That even though it's eino neragalab, even though it's mutter to kill him, shani hacha, nonetheless, this case is different than an ordinary case of kam le b'derab aminei, because it's mamon l'zeh and nefashos l'zeh. And now the answer of loshna is this case is not different from an ordinary case of kam le b'derab aminei. Not because it is in fact mamon nefashos l'chad, but because it doesn't make a difference. That's the simple reading. You're saying that the fact of the Ukimta changed. But the Gemara suggests that the din should have changed. And the Gemara's, the simple answer is, exactly, shani hacha, the din is different here because, and lo shna, the din isn't different.
I mean, we're reading the phrases the same way.
I'm not sure how you're reading, although I'm reluctant to argue with you because recently you've been right and I've been wrong, but here I think I'm right. Okay, so we can rehash this When we get to Tosos, either at the end of today or the beginning of tomorrow, when we get to the answer at the end of Tosos. By the way, just as an aside, I checked through the Rishonim. I didn't read through the Megubetzes. There's nothing. I didn't discover any particularly novel material. I think all the possibilities are raised in Tosfos that are discussed by the Rishonim.
I thought Tosfos
was an Eshrin.
So I have seen Tosfos
above
Basra, and it's possible I didn't read one.
Tosfos Subas or Babasra?
Subas.
Yes. Yes. So you're reading in that. That's the Teretz. That I think that's a very Chalish Teretz. In other words, I think the comment again, the comment in Tosos against Rabbeinu Tam that because it's Begufa Isha, it happens to be in a case where you killed the woman, that it's Melman or Nefashas Lachad, I think is correct. In that respect, Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is a poor Raya. But the simple reading of the Gemara is Lo Shna. There's no difference between Melman or Nefashas Lachad versus Melman or Nefashas Lachad. The din is the same. You say Kamali Rabbeinu. In that sense, not the Rabbeinu Tam, there are two Rayas to Rabbeinu Tam. One is from the Pasuk. One is then from the Gemara. I think the Raya from the Pasuk is not a good Raya. I think the Rivam is correct in that regard. But the Raya from the Gemara, it's this, Rabbeinu Tam's reading is the simple reading. Okay. So now the Gemara says, just the simple reading, Lo Shna, that there's no difference in din, whether it's Mamma Nefashas Lachad or Mamma Nezah Nefashas Zeh. Why? Go ahead. Right. So I'm chasing after, you know, a Talmud because I was upset at the Svara that he said, and then I break another Talmud's shender in the process. So the din is that I'm potter on the mamon because I was mischai ben Ashna when I was chasing him. Fine. Okay? You see, I didn't make any comments about it because he forgot something from the Daf Yomi. Okay. Now, that's the first step. Yes?
So, isn't part of Tosfos' proof here that Rava's comment is saying that this is a case of Mises and how else do you explain that line of love?
No, so the answer to the question will be Rava is showing you an analogous case. He's giving you an identical case, what appears to be an identical case, which is when we know the din.
Because it's Misa.
No. It's she bears a kalim of somebody else. She'll call Adam.
Because he's.
Right. He's chayiv misa.
He's in a state where.
Agreed, but he broke someone else's kalim who's not involved in this scenario. Bein shel kol adam. So that should be mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh. And yet the din is he's potter.
And what's the reason for that?
Kam leib d'ramamine. The question of. The answer to your question of why would you say mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh is potter, you're asking the wrong question. The question is why would he be chayiv? Look, the fact is, when I take the case that apparently, for whatever reason, is not considered mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh, I burn down your house on Shabbos. Right? You'll tell me that I'm potter from paying, but that's unfair. If it's unfair when I damage your property, when I'm a chal Shabbos on your property, why is it any less unfair, you know, why is it any more unfair when I damage his property, burn it, you know, being a chal Shabbos? Right? Somebody, why? What difference does it make? The real question is, why should mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh Bichayev. Now, presumably, that obviously sheds light on it. It addresses sort of a question in Kam Leib D'Rabbeinu, which we are bothered by, which is why should the poor Shlemazel suffer just because you're Chayev Misa? So, the answer to the question is a partial answer that sometimes we don't make the poor Shlemazel suffer because he was totally uninvolved. When I burn down, when I damage your Kalim Shel Nerduf, there everybody says Kam Leib D'Rabbeinu. Maybe when I damage somebody else's Kalim, it's like he's not even involved in this. Why should he suffer? And he doesn't. You could have said by the Nirduf also, why should the Nirduf suffer? Right? So it's a partial answer to our larger moral question. It's not a full answer. But really, once you say that Kam Leib D'Rabbeinu, we don't care that somebody's losing money based upon my action since we're killing me, I'm off the hook from paying, the real question is what difference does it make whose money? You're asking the question backwards, I think. So the Gemara continues, just finish it up. This part was relevant to us. Nirduf. Right. Shalrode patur. Which is an interesting svara. In other words, if in order to stop you, I can, you know, let's say you're chasing me in your car, and I can shoot out the tires of your car, or shoot out the windshield, and it will cause you to swerve away from me. So I understand why in that case I'm allowed to damage your property. But let's say I just damage your property by chance. Your glass vase happened to be in the road as I'm running away. So I didn't need to do. All right, whatever. But the Gemara says, bottom line, if I can kill you, then I can certainly I'm certainly exempt on damage from your property. All right.
But not someone else's property.
Correct.
So
Because why should I be pater? Why should I be pater? What does that have to do with what? On what ground should I be exempt? I'm not chayav misa. I damage your property, even by onus. That doesn't matter.
I mean, that's the answer to the moral problem. If I can kill you, then all right, so I'm not going to have to pay you.
No, that's when the nirduf damages the rodef's property. The problem is when the rodef damages someone's property besides or the nirduf for that matter. He tries to kill the nirduf and he damages his property in the course of that. Why should he be potter just because he's getting one punishment? Why should he be exempt from the other punishment?
Because apparently it goes both ways.
Why? No, in one case when I'm killed, when the nirduf can kill the rodef, it's a mitzvah. He's allowed to do so. I understand why he's part. If I'm allowed to kill you, I can certainly shoot out your tires. Of course.
It's by accident. It's not relevant.
So that's my kasha. Fine. So my kasha remains intact. But the course far I understand. Where it starts from, I understand. If I'm allowed to turn around and stop you by beating you up or by damaging your car to stop you after me, that makes perfect sense why you put that. It's not even a kamei d'ramine question. No circumstances a kamei d'ramine question. The question is just liability. But that doesn't explain why the rodef, who should be chayav for everything, he's an evildoer all around. He's a killer, he's a property damager. The mezid b'shogeg, it doesn't really matter. He should be chayav everything. And finally, the good Samaritan, the rodef. Right. So I don't know if I should even use the term. You know, guys know what the term Good Samaritan comes from? I didn't know this until recently. I'm sorry, Schlein. I'm not such a bucky in the Christian Bible. I'm bringing all my shilas to you for that. I know what it means in the secular legal term. For those of you who don't know, the Good Samaritan is something like a whole bunch of Pharisees or Jews passed by and went to help this person in need, but a Samaritan stopped. The Samaritans were supposed to be the terrible people. So I'm not sure we should use that term because it's a slanderous term against the Jews. But it is
And even worse, it reflects positively on the Kusim.
I could be mochel on that particular part. But anyway, it's a legal term that's used today. There are laws. They call them Good Samaritan laws, which are exactly this. It's to protect, especially, you know, Chazal only envisioned that the Good Samaritan would accidentally, you know, actively damage property. Today, you know, in our litigious system with its strange laws for, you know, just in the act of trying to save someone and actually doing a good thing, but having a bad outcome, you'd get someone who's suing. So you have Good Samaritan laws to protect the bystander who steps in to try to save someone if he's unsuccessful, that you can't, that he's exempt from liability. So that's exactly what this is. I'm chasing after the rodef, okay? It's a little like a cartoon almost, you know, the dog is chasing after Tom, who's chasing after Jerry. So if the dog, in the process of chasing after Tom to stop him, you know, breaks things, so the dog is potter, because we don't want to discourage him from chasing after Tom to stop him from chasing after Jerry. So that's the din of the what's known as the Good Samaritan law, that if you break the kalim, whether you break the kalim of the rodef, whom obviously you'd be allowed to break on the same principle that the nirduf can break them, and whether you break the kalim of the nirduf or anybody else who certainly, you know, don't deserve to have their stuff broken, but you're put there because if we don't allow you to do that, you're going to say, look, I don't want to get involved. Madli litzarzos, why do I have to suffer injury in the process, financial injury? So, you know, you're on your own. So in order to remove any potential stumbling block in front of the rodef achar rodef, so therefore we exempt them, we give him ptur from any kinds of damage, you know, he might unintentionally do in the process. The lo min adin. Okay. Doesn't mean that nobody would. There are people who would do it anyway. But I would like to think that human instinct would be as such. But people will learn. If enough people get sued and become liable paying damages case, people are going to think twice. Right? Doctors especially are going to think twice. If by stepping in to try to help save the person's life, that all of a sudden the bad outcome and they're going to turn around and be sued. It's like, okay, you're not my patient. I don't have to do anything for you. Okay. So with that, what are our cases of which are potentially that we have to deal with? Kamlei Rabbanei Mamal Zanefashos Lazeh. So number one is our case in the Gemara here: Truma and Shirayin. My Truma, I mean, it doesn't matter. Somebody's Truma and your Shirayin. Number two is Madlik Agad Es Agadish B'Shabbes. Number three. That as we do each of those, let's not forget a very important point. There are facts here. We know what the din is. the din is not subject to change. So therefore, your theory has to be tailored to fit the facts, a problem that some people have. As a good friend of mine likes to say, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. I'll even add in their own theories, but no, but you're not entitled to your own facts. It's actually, I think, Daniel Patrick Moynihan's line. So truma v'shirayin, what's the din there? My truma, meaning not your truma, and your shirayin, what's the din? Pater. That's a fact. Whether you're pater because mama lezayin afashas is pater, or you're pater because it's not mama lezayin afashas is, it does not change the fact that you're pater.
Yeah. According to Ravashi, it's a fact.
Correct. According to Ravashi, a fact. According to Ravashi, correct. Correct.
Because it's pretty clear that the Rapapa would disagree.
That's always a question, because Rapapa didn't give that answer. Does that mean he's arguing Ravashi, or he was giving a different possibility? That's always a very tricky business, especially because Rapapa and Ravashi were not really contemporaries. Rapapa was 5th generation, Ravashi was 6th generation. I don't know if there's any dialogues between them, but it's hard to bring that riot. The first dialogue that's taking place here is Rava and Abaye, who are 4th generation. Rapapa comes along with a new solution in the 5th generation, Ravashi comes with a new solution in the 6th generation. So I'm not telling you that you're wrong, and Rashi's assertion is only within Ravashi. In Hanami, Rapapa...
Wait, that's kind of my riot.
Momo?
Ravashi
with Abaye. Ravashi? Yeah. Well, presumably, the machlokas Rav and Abaye is not... No, I don't like that. That's a dachel comment, in that presumably the machlokas Abaye and Rava is not about this nekuda. The machlokas is whether or not Misa Bidish Shemayim is a poter of Kalmei V'Rabamine.
Yes.
But presumably, if Rava were to agree that, or have the analogous case by something that were a poter, then, and for example, Rava would agree by Kares, because they're talking right now with, it's not Abaye's own opinion, Abaye's talking within Rashid, that's Rabbi Nechonya Ben Akana. So what if it were a Kares case? So it'd be the same, so Abaye and Rava would agree. So that's why I say, it's not Ravashi Dafka than Abaye, it's Ravashi within the assumption of Abaye for Rabbi Nechonya Ben Akana. You know, but if Rava were to agree with that assumption, or you to tailor a case for that, there's no reason to think that Rava would disagree on this point, according to Ravashi.
Well, my raya for Ravashi disagreeing with Rapapa, that Ravashi is only commenting the seer that Ravashi needs to presentation is that Hunter, meaning he's bringing in a chiddush that Rapapa obviously doesn't agree with.
Well, Rapapa just thought it would. Excuse me. Especially in this case. Tell me, do you think that the reason Rapapa would have disagreed with Ravashi would have been because he thought that... What's the first reason you think that Rapapa might not have adopted Ravashi's approach? Could you give me the simple Balabatish explanation? Because it's far-fetched, if I may Yiddishize the word. What kind of an ukibta is that? Rapapa and the preceding cases are fundamentally straightforward cases of Ochel Truma. Zar Shachal Truma. Very straightforward cases. And the pashtus anyway would be, I mean, someone else just said it also, the normal cases we've been dealing with until now are one maisa. You eat the X, and in eating the X, you chayav mamar, and so on. Ravashi, feeling that if you don't want to adopt these approaches, we could create this another way, I don't think that they necessarily disagree on the prince of mamar and so on. They would like to find a case that is better within the simple mashmash of Zar Shachal Truma. It doesn't say Zar Shachal Truma, but Kara Shirayim. I would faster say that they would disagree not on the grounds of Mamon Lezeh, Unefashos Lezeh, but rather on the grounds that it's two separate Meisim, which in effect is the first answer of Tosfos from Rashi.
So fine, that's... But nonetheless, Rashi's saying that they disagree.
So it's not explicit as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, it's another... I'm not arguing with you. In other words, we agree. Within Rav Ashi, we can say that it's a fact that this case is pater. Whether it's because he holds Mama Lezeh and Afashas Lezeh pater, or he holds it's not called Mama Lezeh and Afashas Lezeh, doesn't matter. He holds it's pater within this case according to the Chonya Kana, according to Abaye. Okay? We can agree on that?
But you might say that Rav Papa might also say... That's a good answer too.
Yes, possible. I have no way of knowing that. Okay. Next. Madlikas Agadish B'Shabbos. What's the din? That's an indisputable fact. You are pater. Are you pater because it's Mamal Zanafashos Zeb, but you still say Kamar Abimine? Are you pater because It's mamon and nefashas tachad. I don't know yet, but I know that you potter. Number three, madlikas agad shvi eved kafuslo. What is the din? And gdi samachlo. Let's just make sure you throw it in there. What's the din? The fact remains you are potter. That's what the Mishnah says. That the imadlik is agadish and the eved is kafaslo, you are potter on the damages. Why? Come labor the rabbinay. Is that a case of mamon zeh nefashos lezeh? So what does the Gemara say? What? Zach says very carefully, the Gemara doesn't use that term, but the Gemara does say begidi dechad and avda dechad, which sounds a lot like, but it's not explicit, sounds a lot like mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh. So we could talk about that. Case number four, make isha hara, and he killed her. What is the din there? Does he pay money? I don't know who said that. I will pretend I never heard that, because in the words of that infamous YouTube video, that would be kefirah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's not explicit, but Chazal read it explicitly. Anosh ye anesh, but v'imason ye, no money, v'nasata nefesh tachas nafesh. So it's clear when you kill an isha hara by accident, aiming to kill someone else, you did try to kill, but not her, it's clear that you do not pay money. Why? Is it because it's mamon lezeh and nefashos lezeh and you're still pater, or because it's mamon nefashos lezeh? The Torah, nish gezacht in the Torah, doesn't say. Number five, rodef achar nirdaf, which is a tautological. If you're rodef after a nirdaf and you break kalim, you are pater. Why? The Gemara strongly suggests that the reason why the rodef is pater is because... No, that's explicit. And it's a case of mamon lezeh and nefashos lezeh. And finally, the last case, which is the ursuga, is the edim zomimim, who were mazim the edei ho'av, who were mazim the edei habal. Okay? And the amoraim, certainly Rava, maybe even Rabbi Yosef would be maskim in principle, says that the edim zomimim pay money to the Baal, let's say the Mea Kesef or Ksuba, which he would have had to pay, and they get killed because they were going to kill the Edei HaBaal, and Mamon Lezeh and Nefash Lezeh, you don't say, come labor the Rabamine. So now the task that the Rishonim are confronted with is, how do you put the pieces of the puzzle together? And fundamentally speaking, there are three approaches in the Rishonim, all found on the page, to how to solve this particular issue, because there seem to be stira, certainly between the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and maybe the pasuk of the Torah not clear, but certainly between that and the Gemara in of Gedi Kafus, Gedi Samuch and Eved Kafuslo, where the Gemara says Mamel Zenefashos Lezeh is Chayim, and the postures of the Gemara in Sanhedrin by Rodef Achar Nirdaf, that the Gemara says that Loshna. Right, there's no difference between Mamon Nefashos Lechad Shlayin and Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. The pastures in the Gemara is that there's no difference. You say Kamali Rabbanei. So how do you put the Gemara in Sanhedrin together with the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud, with the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet, and also the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Chaf Beis Hakim or whatever it is? That is the question that the Rishonim are confronted with. That's an inescapable question, right? You also have to consider Ravashi's case. And there's a reason why Rashi commented. It was a Bechinim where it does sound like it's two separate Maisim almost, which could be like a Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, and yet Ravashi assumes that you're Pater. So that's what the question boils down to. So what are the, putting aside Rashi's approach, there are, some of you have seen Tosos, what are the two, from a methodological or a broader conceptual perspective, what are the two approaches that are adopted by the Tosos, in Tosos, Danny? I'm leaving out Rashi's approach for the moment. That's the Rebbe Mitarits for Rashi. We'll talk about how Rashi's approach, with the Rebbe's understanding, fits into this scheme. I think it's important to think about the tools or the method that the Rishonim are trying to deal with, their general key to deal with the problem. Yitzi?
We could approach it by saying usually mamlazeh nefeshelazeh is potter, or we can
add... And Adem Zomamim is the exception, and that's Rabbeinu Tam's approach.
Or we could approach it by saying usually mamlazeh nefeshelazeh is chayav,
but you have to carefully define what mamlazeh nefeshelazeh is. Okay, and then Rashi seems to be a sort of Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam requires no fancy definitions. Rabbeinu Tam just says that we have a case that's exceptional. We have a case that's exceptional, Edom Zomam, because Kasher Zomam could entail more than one punishment. And therefore, Edom Zomam is the only time we're going to sometimes say, Mamon Lezeh Nefashel Sezeh is Chayev. Rabbeinu Tam has to explain why don't you always say, by Edom Zomam, Mamon Lezeh Nefashel Sezeh is Chayev, because you don't always say it, right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is so nice, it just doesn't fit with that one data point. Right, but it's such a nice svara that says kasher zama means it's one punishment with two parts. For all other cases of mamon lazeh nefashel sezeh are really two punishments. We never give one guy two punishments. But if you get one punishment, but it's got a lot of ingredients in it, that's okay. So then the question is, why don't you always give Edom Zomam the two punishments? So that Rabbeinu Tam has to explain. The Rivam or Rivashita is that no, that is a matter of principle, of course. At that point, it's never disputed. Ah, but you have two Gemaras that suggest explicitly that they are cases of Mamal Lezeh Nefashel Sezeh and still your potter. So you have to say those aren't really cases of Mamal Lezeh Nefashel Sezeh. In fact, the Havamina, both of those cases on some level are explaining a Havamina. And both those cases will actually explain what the maskana was, that it's not actually mamon lezeh nefashel sezeh. It's mamon nefashel lechad. You have to be able to explain that. Rashi is the interesting case, because Rashi, the way the rehandles it, is almost trying to redefine. It almost creates two different kinds of mamon lezeh nefashel lezeh. In that, there's a mamon, or maybe not, but it sort of redefines the entire axis of mamon lezeh nefashel lezeh. Or very much restricts it. What was the methodology? What was the concept that was being employed to severely limit its application?
When it is either two acts or it could have been two acts.
Right. So in other words, something that could be looked at as two acts, then you can first invoke the concept of mamon lezeh nefashel sezeh. But something which is only one act in its own right, which is not in any way splittable, you cannot employ. It's irrelevant to whom it's being paid. Now, obviously, even if you want to adopt that approach, the fact that it's two maisim alone or it's separable does not machayev you to punishments. It also has to be two different people as well. It has to be mamon lezeh nefashel sezeh on top of that. But in order to even qualify, it has to be two separate actions. That's how Rashi, at least as explained by the Ri, that's how his approach is taken. But those are basically the three approaches. Once you get that, then we'll read Tosfos, but it's basically filling in, filling that outline. I think some of you may have figured that out already. If you didn't figure it out yet, it would be obvious once I present it. And it's obvious because if you've gone through Tosfos and the cases well enough, then you sort of start to see what the Rishonim are doing. But the key is almost starting with my miniature list here, which is to figure out what are the data points. You know, it's sort of like you have to, when you're given a picture to draw and you're given points on the graph, you can draw a lot of different pictures with those points. The only rule is that the line has to go through all those points. So you can have very many different shaped lines that go through the points, but it better catch every single point in your graph. So now, let's take a look at, let's start Tosfos a little bit. In fact, we'll just do the first part. We spoke about this yesterday, and I don't want to go on further. So who was reading? Oh, you were still doing it. Okay, so you finish up. Ravashi Amar let's just take one. Let's do the Gemara, actually. We didn't do the Gemara, we did Rapapa. So we had the whole answer, the fancy answer of the guy who sticks it into your throat in the Beis Ablia into a position where you could force it back out, but it would be, the way Rashi said, and Tosu said, not the last territory, it was the Mitzvah, into a position where it's disgusting already, but you could force it out if you wanted to, but it's already been nimas. And that's the case where you chayiv ananas grono umeyav. Now, the truth is, in defense of Ravashi's ukimta, which is a more plausible ukimta? We could have that debate if we wanted. Ravashi would be justified in saying, mine seems to be at least as plausible as yours. So anyway, but before we get to that, we got to the one that was probably the least of an ukimta, which was Rapapa Amar.
Rapapa Amar, Kigosh Tachabu Chamira,
Someone put mashkim shel truma to your mouth. Okay? It's not an activity I advise generally. I suspect that someone pouring stuff into your mouth is likely to lead you to choking. That would be my guess. But, nonetheless, that case is very simple. Why is he chayev? He's not chayev for gezel or for being mazik the truma via dayim in that sense because he didn't do anything until the mashkim were in his mouth. It's fair to say that once mashkim are in, even if ochel in someone else's mouth is not ma'os, it's fair to say that mashkim are ma'os. Right? Because you can wash ochel off if you want. It's a little hard to wash the mashkim off. So therefore, Rav Papa says, it's yochayev on hanas gron omeyev, on that portion. And that's be'idna, that's at the exact same time as the chiyev of misa, because the way Tosu says, because he put it in your mouth willingly. Finally, Rav Ashi Amar. Okay, so he eats truma, and at the same time, he tears someone else's silk garment. The truma, let's say, is his own. The important point is that the truma does not belong to the. It's interesting. One would have fact. This is what motivated Rashi. The truma does not belong to whom? When we say truma shalo, what's the key point in saying truma shalo? No. Whose truma must it not be? It sounds like from the Gemara. The guy with the shirayin. And what does that suggest? I never thought about this till this moment. What is that, right? In other words, kara shirayin shel chaveiro. Why not just said he ate the truma? Anybody's truma. And kara shirayin shel chaveiro. I understand why it's not kara shirayin shelo, because if you tear your own shirayin, you're potter. But why does it have to be his truma? Why couldn't it be someone else's truma? Yes.
Maybe if it would be that guy's truma, it would be a regular kamlay, and it would overcome.
Why would it be a regular kamlay? Because it would be misa lachad and mamon lachad, misa and mamon lachad. So that suggests to Rashi that when a guy is chayiv misa bidei shemayim for eating someone's truma, he's chayiv misa to that person.
Why can't this be shalom lafuke? All the other cases where it's the truma of a kohen.
That's right.
Well, what difference? Who cares? Why does it matter? The bottom line is we're not being done on that mamon. Just say you ate truma. It doesn't matter who's truma. You're not chayiv on the mamon of that truma because kamei rab. I mean, in that sense, we're invoking karashi ron shel chavero so that you don't get into the problem of who's doing it and the shas is chayvus.
I just thought that he's passing over all the crazy.
Could be
stuffing it down your throat that you eat your own truma, so you're not chayv gezel on picking it up. That you're not chayv. That's right. The rashi, you're not.
I guess. Okay, fine. So you could say that. But Rashi may have thought that in effect the whole question was irrelevant. In other words, the ptur, you might be chayv on the truma. But the whole point is to find a case where mitzah b'dishamayim patas you from tashlum. And the answer is it patas you from tashlum eshirayim. Who cares about the truma? I agree, you could say that. That would be the answer to counter Rashi's tanya. But Rashi would say that it's crucial that the mamon not be the guys who has the shirayim, because otherwise it would be mamon mitzah lachad.
If you're eating his truma, you'd be chayv gezel the second you pick it up, and you wouldn't have a case of kamlay anymore.
You would have kamlay on the shirayim. You swallow while you're tearing, that's all.
But you already chayav on gezel.
No, but your point is that your misa would be to that guy. And therefore the misa and the shirayim would be lachad. Forget the truma. Who cares about the truma? Think about it.
Okay.
Yitzi, is a quick question? Or if it's on that, so then we'll resume that tomorrow. We will finish Tosas tomorrow, and you will go on in the Gemara before you do any Rishonim on the next Gemara. And it's the last thing we're doing before we start doing the Yushalmi, which is going to take a while, is that you should do the Gemara, continue all the way down to the two dots on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, which is going to conclude the definition of Be'idna. And then the next sugya really gets into the heart of Kamlei B'Derav Aminei. But before we do that, we have to do Yushalmi. So again, we will be doing a number of the Tosasim on this Talmudim. But once you finish Tosas, please do the next blot in Gemara or something.